Well, let's get this one over with. I mean, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
It's good. It's gold.
Yeah, it is gold.
Stay gold, Papa's Basement. Stay
super
gold.
Super gold. Gold squared.
You're listening. I don't know why. You same six listeners are listening to the same episode of Papa's Basement. Apathy on both sides of the microphone. That's our way.
That's not nice.
It's true.
No, it isn't.
Truth in advertising.
No. We're happy people.
Are we?
I am.
How?
I just am. I was born that way. My glass is half full.
Really? Mine is too, of urine. Show's website's in papasbasement.com. You go there, you get two episodes a week of this.
Wow.
Yeah. This wow. Exactly.
This lightning
full
rod.
An hour each time of this wow in a bottle. You also got my writing a couple times a week. Usually every Friday I try to review a movie I haven't seen. I'm John Papagiorgio, by the way. That's how you do an introduction in order. You say, me. By the way, this is who me is.
Oh.
John Papagiorgio.
I got you.
I am joined today by not just Allison Frank.
Nope.
But my good buddy.
Yep.
If I had to gay marry a hetero friend of mine, it would be Tony DeSisto over here.
Wow.
And if I had to stake someone through the heart, it would be you.
There you go. He's all man. Tony. Former roommate of mine and a photographer. Everyone gets their plugs out of the way right now. Let me bring this down. That's my brother's band. That's his plug out of the way. Gray Sky Eternal. Buy their stuff on iTunes. My plug, go to @Papa's Basement on Twitter and Facebook.com/Papa's Basement. Allison's plug, find her on Twitter for all these photos of her tits. Because
nice.
This is going to be a dirty episode, actually.
No.
Yeah, I feel
not.
Like swearing a little.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Why? You've been doing so well.
This is going to be a dirty one. So Allison's big fucking tits are on display.
Holy
at Allison Frank dot at Allison Frank dot nothing dot T-I-T.
That is
A-L-L-I-S-0-N-F-R-A-N-K for some fucking areolas.
Holy smokes.
Some big milkers.
I don't have those big hoops.
That's true. You're rather... I don't know. I've never seen your areolas, to be honest.
When did you see
Well,
them?
You pulled down your top enough where, on your Twitter account, where if you had the big, tea saucers, they would have been peeking out.
Probably. That's true.
And Tony, your photography website is...
DeSistoPhoto.com.
DeSistoPhoto.com. D-E-S-I-S-T-O. DeSisto. Yeah. DeSistoPhoto.com. There you go.
Hey, how about we just say desist with an O?
There. DeSisto. Like
you.
An Italian getting raped. DeSisto.
Bad.
Yeah, I needed a curse this time because a tree fell on my fucking car.
Yeah,
my
but
fucking
it's not
car
bad.
Got smashed by a fucking tree.
Yeah, but the tree was rotten, and your mom begged
first
you to park
of all,
there. So,
first of all,
yeah.
In case insurance is listening,
yeah.
That tree was healthy as a goddamn horse, Allison Frank. That tree had a lot of good years ahead of it. In no way did it need to come down years ago. As it was ripped apart alternately by a thunder strike, I believe.
Oh, my.
And then a blizzard clinging to its branches and pulling down another massive chunk. And in no way was there soil and bugs and all kinds of other shit that a witch would make a potion out of right in the middle of the tree growing
delicious.
Between this huge trunk kind of jutting out at 45 degrees from the main
line. But it wasn't
line.
Even a huge tree anyway.
It wasn't that big. Let's not
a
act like
a
sequoia. Yeah. Came
no.
down
Mm-mm.
on my vehicle.
No.
It was what, 40 feet tall?
Maybe. I mean,
30 something?
I mean, it's not huge, so.
It was enough when a tree comes down on your car, it fucks it up.
Yeah, it's got some boo boos, but it's drivable.
It's drivable currently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was
it just
how
looks I like
started
I sat on the hood.
Yes. A weight joke. I get it. I like it. I see what you did with your humor there.
Mm.
Yeah, that was how I started my week. I locked up my hellion of a male cat who somehow is a real bastard despite the fact he has no balls anymore.
Mm.
I locked him in my room because at 1 a.m. he was running around like a terror.
I don't believe that.
And then about
it's
5 minutes later. It's true. Exactly. He was making Al-Qaeda plots. About 5 minutes later, I hear it sounds kind of like a gun going off.
Oh.
So considering it hasn't been raining for like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
I just assume he knocked something over.
Right.
I open the door, ready to beat savagely this little cat.
Poor thing.
Yeah. And he looks up, expecting the beating, because he sees my fist
gone. And then he sings Shaggy's It Wasn't Me.
Yes. And after his rendition, I looked around. I'm like, I don't see anything knocked over. And a cat, I don't care what anyone says, an animal knows when it's messed up. I'm going to stop cursing at this point. It was a little too profane. little dirty. I don't like working blue like that. You know, Allison.
Yeah, that's true.
You've been in my house before.
Yeah.
I get my mouth washed out with soap for saying damn.
Okay. I think your mom washes it down with racism, racial slurs, and more swear words.
Fills me up with it so it gets regurgitated at a later point.
Holy smoke, she was on a roll today.
An animal, as much as people want to think it's a dumb beast, it doesn't know what it's doing, an animal knows when it's screwed up. And it puts on a guilty face, so I open the door, and he's looking up at me like, what do you want?
Yeah.
We're all good. So I was like, I guess he did nothing. Will exits the house around 2 a.m.,
yeah.
Promptly comes back in, knocks on my door, which is shut. He can only assume I'm wailing upon my own body.
Gross.
Treating it like an amusement park, as George Costanza's mother would say.
Gross.
Which I was not. I was able to answer the door quickly.
That's gross.
And without having to tuck it in my the loop of my home shorts.
Ugh.
My Poundom shorts.
Gross. That's what they are?
Yeah,
that's
my Poundom shorts.
Gross.
There's not even a speck of lotion.
Yeah, exactly. Just a dry rub.
Oh, I don't like this.
I open the door and he's like, yeah, dude, a tree fell on your car.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't ones to mince words in my house. So
I'm sure. I'm surprised he didn't just text you on his way home.
So I look out.
Dude, you might want to check your car.
Sure enough, a tree has fallen upon my car, which, Allison,
yeah.
My first worry, I didn't know if I was insured. I have really, really poor person's insurance.
Yeah.
Because I'm an idiot. I never realized from Elephant. Elephant auto insurance. I didn't realize the reason Elephant was charging me $68 a month was that I do not have collision insurance. I have liability.
Yeah.
If I damage someone, they're covered.
Yeah.
Whatever I do to my car, that's my fault. Yeah. I'm not covered for.
Wow.
So I am crapping my pants, checking my policy to make sure that, like, if a tree hypothetically fell on my car,
yeah,
would I be covered? Now I am. I'm still out $500 though.
Yeah, for the deductible.
But I guess it beats being out $5K
yeah.
for whatever's left on the life of my car.
Yeah.
Which is now is what would you describe the damage as on it?
I mean, they can probably pound some of it out. It needs a new windshield. So,
I think new hood, roof, the sides are very dented
up. Some of them they just pound it out though. So,
I don't know. There's some existing damage. I hope it gets lumped in there. Didn't say that.
There really wasn't. I mean, you take good care of your car. So.
I do. I don't ride into the ground, but you hope a couple stray nicks here and there get treated.
Don't
sound so excited.
I know, right?
In your Beats by Dre.
Yeah, how about that?
I didn't realize I was recording with a young black.
Well, now you do.
A young black denizen.
Your mom didn't clue you in before we left.
No. How are your Beats?
Very good, thank you.
Are they clear? Are they worth the $5,000 you paid for them?
Absolutely.
Did you actually pay for Beats or you got them from a friend or what?
No, they were a gift.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm out a bunch of money, and we'll get to the whole financial implications of everything later.
$500 isn't bad. I mean, considering you spent $1 zillion just to have the tree taken care of. I mean, $500 to repair your entire car.
We'll get to why I'm so damn depressed in a bit with the financial realities I'm facing. No, I'm on air. I managed to lie and sound very lively and happy on air. So even when I'm talking about horrible things, which
but
will in a minute.
Nothing's happened to you, so you're fine.
No, my entire future is down the toilet.
No, it isn't.
And that it died with that car.
No, it didn't.
It did.
No, it didn't. It's not a Mercedes.
I know. Not the car. The car awakened me. It was a warning call.
Yeah.
Like when they killed that first monster in Pacific Rim. Like,
oh my gosh.
That first monster didn't destroy the world, but they knew that was the tip of the shit iceberg. And their Titanic was about to hit it.
Why are you going to tell Tony all about a movie that you're going to see?
Like, hey, Tony, Pacific Rim has fucking monsters in it. Spoiler alert.
Monsters and big robots fighting each other.
Oh, he knows everything already. There. He knows the whole saga.
Yeah.
That car needed, as you mentioned, that car needed
what?
To get the tree removed.
Yes.
That was still on top of it.
Right.
My mom.
Yes.
Was gracious enough.
Yeah.
To pay for the tree removal, which
right.
as the property owner,
yeah,
I think that's her dominion, right?
Right.
Now, she coughed up $700 to get that tree removed, a couple other trees.
That's ridiculous.
While the tree was getting removed,
yeah,
the guy cutting it down pointed out that the tree, putting its branches on the roof,
yeah,
has covered it up sun wasn't getting to the shingles, not allowing them to dry out.
Yeah.
And I guess the wood underneath got soppy, so the roof is getting caved in.
Okay.
The house is going to need something like $25,000-$30,000 for a new roof and repairs. And and the molding on the front and the back, the wood is rotting out too.
Okay.
These repairs need to take place sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Because it just spreads inward, the rot. And the more it goes inside, the more you have to, I guess, literally pick apart the house to replace it.
Okay.
My mom is broke every month. Yeah. She's into me for money every month.
Yeah.
She makes like $65,000 a year or something like that. So? It's not a small sum. In this area, I suppose it is.
Yeah.
If I had $65,000 a year, I'd have a lot of money.
Yeah.
She wants to quit working, Allison.
Yeah, but she's wanted to quit for a long time. But when she spends $40,000 for William to eat food,
she's horrible with money. I've never seen someone more horrible. The problem is, I'm not human filth.
Yeah.
So every time she comes to me with her hand out, I pay.
Yeah.
And I will pay.
Yeah.
And I'll keep paying.
But we have to pay for
until
our parents.
She's deep
I
in
pay
the...
for my parents all the time. That's just what we have to do.
Okay.
Thousands and thousands
of
dollars.
I'm
of
the same school of thought. I can't tell you how many people I've ranted and raved about this to. Like this financial anchor that I've inherited called Maria Papageorgiou.
But your mom's got about 10 years on my parents. But still, like I support my parents too. I pay my mom's phone bill and she lived with me. All together for probably about 3 years.
That's how I'm going to put it from now on. She lives with me.
Well, my mom did live with me.
I know. So. I know. She came to your domicile.
She did. But I mean, I helped her out a lot. So that's what we have to do.
I'm trying to burp up my payway. Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, the shrimps.
It's the price you pay for getting a suppository from your own mother.
Oh, God. I used to get those a lot. Tylenol upset my tumbly-wumbly very hard as a kid.
Gross.
Oh, yeah. I get a fever. Every time I got a fever, my ankles were up.
No.
Missionary style.
Are you kidding?
For oh, real? Yeah.
That sounds like a fetish or something.
Yeah, exactly. Went on until I was 18.
Oh, you just didn't get on your hands and knees. No. You had to go with the full frontal exposure.
Yeah, I didn't take doggy style suppositories. That would be faggy. I went up and touched my knees to my ribs. My mom just shoved it in that way.
Oh,
Rocco Siffredi style.
Huh? Yeah, grabbed my bean bag, my little baby bean bag. It must have been like 10 at some point.
Oh,
I think once I sprouted pubes, I was like, all right, we might be a little old for this.
Nasty.
What?
That's terrible.
That's a mother's love right there.
I know. My mom, when I was sick, I was really, really sick after my surgery, and I was vomiting just all the time. And I had a prescription, I think, that was going to be called in or something. Anyhow, somebody had like a Phenergan suppository or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'll take it, you know, if my prescription or whatever. My mom's like, do you want me to give you a suppository? And I was like, no, thanks. She's like, that's what love is. And I was like, not for me.
Pass. I swear to God, my mom, she used to clean up like after my grandmother near the end, the last year or so, let's say, was not really good at like being able to reach back there and was kind of bedpansville.
Right.
And my mom would clean that up, I guess, because she was used to, you know, she wiped babies at some point, so it wasn't shocking. If my mom was doing that now, I would just make her live in a bathtub. She would not exit. I would just have her shit all over the bathtub. If she wanted to spin around and fan her ass, maybe I'd hose that off.
Yeah, feel the warmth.
Yeah, and I just dump bleach at the
bottom of
it.
You'd be surprised what you can do when someone is incapable of caring for themselves. Right now, you're thinking that way.
I could put a pillow over her face. I'm sure I'd have the strength for that.
Because your mom is able, and because your mom gives you a lot of flack, and because your mom is very vocal, I mean, it's easy to kind of think that way. But if she were incapable of caring for herself, you would find the strength to do it. And it wouldn't bother you as much as you think it does.
I'm just glad that someone else agrees with me that, like, you kind of have to take care of them. Because I was talking to friends. You do not know how many of them were like, fuck her.
No, you can't.
Fuck her. Go and do your thing. No. How?
No,
how
you don't.
You bring yourself to do that? Tony, could you do that? Yeah. Tony's just nodding like, oh, God.
I wish I could do it now.
About
like 3 minutes.
Oh, man.
No.
I would feel beyond guilty.
No, even when my mom, when I was younger, and my mom was with all the substance abuse and so forth, you know, my stepdad and my grandparents, they all wanted me to live with them, but I felt like my mom couldn't care for herself. So I thought, like, I can't leave her, even though I wanted to.
A weird position to be in for a kid.
But I just thought, you know what? She really does need me. Who's going to take care of my sister? Who's going to help my mom or what have you? So, but as an adult, I mean, it's a different kind of situation. And my mom has actually lived very well for a while. But, you know, then she was sick. She had cancer.
Is she garbage with money? Like mine?
No, I mean, my mom is very generous, so there's difference. You know what I mean? My mom is very giving, and she gives to a lot of causes. She started some organizations and those kinds of things. And so she's very selfless, so she gives out of her own need. But she's not terrible with money.
What's that like?
Really, I mean,
what's it like to know fiscal responsibility in a parent? I don't.
Well, I mean, she wasn't always that way, but my mom is very, when it came to certain domestic things, my mom was not very good with that. Like as far as like organization or cooking or those kinds of things.
Well, you've seen the house my mom keeps. I mean, it's not filled with vermin, but it's not too many notches above that. She really fancies herself a homemaker. Like she would be brokenhearted to hear me say that.
Yeah.
That it's pretty messy inside, but Allison, yeah, it's pretty goddamn messy in there, is it not?
Oh, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot of clutter. I mean, she could definitely declutter and throw things away.
Yeah. It's it's a litany of, well, it's work, it's my health, it's this. It's always fucking something.
Yeah.
It's always fucking something.
But the part of it, too, that it doesn't matter how well.
I'm just riding on the air. I know this, but I can't.
She won't want to get rid of those things.
Exactly. It's sentimental reasons.
I mean, like, I cleaned that area off, but those were things that you gave her probably when you were 18 or something, but they're full of dust and they don't have the same, you know, when you had given them to her, those fake flowers or the ribbons or the melted candle, like they don't hold that, you know.
That magic.
Well, they're old now and they're half melted and half broken and full of dust and you can't even really tell, you know what I mean, what it was when it was that. So
it's become a museum to the life she used to live. My dad's
but
clothes.
It isn't even that way. Like, to me, when I think of a museum, it's like you keep
something that's dusted.
It doesn't have to be white glove. But the problem is that someone, like this family that I worked with, I worked and I did private duty care for this physician and his wife in Frederick, Maryland. And their house was...
Don't brag.
No.
City of the stars. Don't brag.
But their house, they have a row house, but this is like a $1 million row house or what have you. Like four levels, and they had their yard done, but they renovated the whole place back in 1986 or 88, and they had all the fixtures. But back in the 80s, when prime colors were in and those kinds of things, they have the photos that were taken for.
Think of the cover of Mannequin.
But the photos that were taken for their home and put in the paper, and then at Christmas time, they do open houses, and their home was featured. An architectural something or other for the renovations, but it's exactly the same. The candlesticks are exactly the same, but there's no clutter necessarily, but their home is exactly the same. And to me, it's very dated and
just the Rio LP.
Yeah, exactly.
Repeat.
But for the most part, the other rooms are tidy. I mean, the guy was kind of left, the older physician, he's kind of left and he's kind of a pack rat and there's a lot of clutter and old food and I helped them out there, but the rest of their home and the common areas and stuff were exactly the same. Whereas your mom, she keeps all the old stuff, but she keeps adding to it. Like these people weren't adding new candlesticks and just now they have 20 candlesticks on their mantle. That's how your mom does. Like she'll keep the book collection, but then she'll get it on
the
book
plates,
on
Allison.
CD.
The plates. Tell the plates. Let the world know about the plates.
Aren't we just describing hoarding?
Mild hoarding. Well, is it mild, moderate, what? I mean,
I think
we don't have dead cats.
No, there's stages, but I mean, I think she could be
anytime
stage three.
Anytime
know?
They're on that show and they have to put on galoshes because like so many dead cats are in the garage that it's turned into like a slurry.
Yeah.
Like that's real hoarding, I guess. Or maybe I'm just setting the bar really high.
But when you if
like,
you took a picture
like
of
if you just watch porno, you think every woman is like triple D tits and stuff. Maybe this is real world hoarding, the way in the real world most girls are like a B cup.
I guess.
If they're in shape.
I mean, if you took a picture of your kitchen, which is an eat-in kitchen, but it feels like a pantry kitchen because there's so much clutter in there.
There is no real place to sit in it.
But there would be. There
Absolutely.
Is a table.
There was a time. There was a time family meals could be threatened.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't just be, what are you talking about?
Yeah. But your mom has like a snake path through her room.
She, she just lives to be boxed in. She always refers to it as feeling safe.
Yeah, and that's how they feel.
She never, with herself though, it's always the cats. Mm-hmm. It's the cats crawl themselves into a little place and like shit's just about to fall on them and kill them. She's like, oh, look how safe and nestled the cats must feel.
Yeah.
It's so Freudian. It's so creepy.
I'm like, but that's, I know someone, one of my clients, and they are bazillionaires and they have a mansion. But this woman, she is, you know, on the other scale of it, your mom's on a budget and she's not good with money here.
She makes herself on a budget, though. She owes like $700 a month on the house.
Yeah.
I used to pay that in rent elsewhere, making like $33K or something. And I somehow made ends meet back then. I don't know how you make literally double that and you're fucking hand to mouth in me at the end of the month.
Well,
and I'm not trying to blow up her business. She's a good, all this aside, she's a great person.
Yeah.
And she'd do anything for you.
Right.
As long as it didn't get in the way of her OCD behaviors. But I'm going to have to deal with this reality once she quits work.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I going to do with my life, Allison?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to support this. Any money I give her will disappear.
Yeah.
Like, I will never be able to just pay off the house.
Yeah.
And then be like, all right, that's my gift to you. Now you just have to, like, take care of yourself and pay taxes, and otherwise you're set.
Yeah.
It's a zero-sum game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like taking... You could put any number into a calculator.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just keep hitting -1, -1, -1, -1, eventually it'll hit zero. Doesn't matter what number you start off with. We've got infinite minus ones to throw at it. That's what she is. That's why you need to just start her at the smallest number possible.
But it's funny because like it's whatever they do, they need to fill that void. They need to fill that blank space.
And she refuses to get any sort of help for it.
Yeah.
And it's so common. Like that's what drives me bad shit about it.
Yeah.
It's so common in older lady widows.
No, I mean, this lady is not a widow.
They
this
just
bazillionaire.
Ease into it like a hot bath, this hoarding shit.
I can't tell you how many times I've helped this woman organize her closets, organize her kitchen, but the more space I made, the more things she would just go out and buy and fill that space. Like, she could not have an empty space. And when they redid, they had to have an open house to do photos for the home to be sold.
Yeah.
And so I went and I staged the whole home. Like, they have interior decorators. They have designers come in and do this home. But she clutters it up with a bunch of junk and plants and pots and knickknacks and chicken limoges. And you just think it's so wasteful. So when I actually did her home, she was out of town. And she's like, hey, can you fix this place while I'm gone? And I did this woman came in and she says, I can't believe how great the place looks. You did an amazing job. And pretty much I just decluttered everything.
Yeah.
Like, she, you know, she can't have one candle on the thing.
Well,
she
describe how my mom has reacted to you doing that, even on a light level.
No, she says like she needs all of those things. But this woman, this bazillionaire, she would say the same thing. And I think, you have never touched that waffle iron. You have never touched. You don't even know what this tool is.
You're saying my mom doesn't need that 8-year-old church bread that's sitting on top of the third blender we own.
Her holy crumbs. Okay, she can have those, and she can have her holy water. But she has, I've never.
God knows what shape we'd be in without those relics.
I've never heard her use the 8-track player that's sitting on the counter. You know what I mean? And I moved it out and away, and she just put it right back on the counter.
Of course.
So there's no.
You're a dunce, Allison.
That's stupid. I know. And to think that I didn't throw anything away, I just moved things kind of up out of the space, but she wants to see them. She wants them cluttered there. She's like, oh, the boys gave me those. I need to look at them. But it's like a ribbon that went on a balloon that was on a little stick.
It makes me feel like I feel like I'm living in a museum to what I was.
Yeah.
Like the actual boy who is still around through his own bad choices and fears, the actual boy is there.
Yeah.
But you like the reminders of the boy 10 years ago. That was a magical moment. Me saying I love you, you know, that comes
and
goes.
That's what I'm saying. Like a museum, you can look at that physician's home where it's just stuck in the 80s and forever. But your mom just adds to the 80s with the 90s and with the ever, and she doesn't recycle anything out. Like, you can have keepsakes, but there are just some things that just don't need to be kept. You know, those sip cups, they aren't going to gain value. You're not going to want to use them for your children. They're disgusting. They're plastic. They're old.
This is one of the rare moments I wish we were taking callers and not like our premeditated callers on like good topics.
Yeah.
I just wish we had quick calls of people saying like, oh, my, you know, my mom, my grandma engages in this as well. It's rare that it's a man. It's so creepy and effeminate when it's a man.
Well, I mean, men can be do that, but I think sometimes they can kind of disassociate with certain things. You know what I mean?
They hoard cool things like guns.
Well, they can.
And animal skulls.
I mean, if you look at like American Pickers and things, a lot of guys have things, but their garages are junk. Their sheds are junk.
Yes.
Their basements are junk. And there are things that they don't want to get. Old oil cans and nuts and bolts and, you know what I mean, tools that don't work anymore.
I get that on a manly level at some point.
But when you don't have any workspace anymore, you can't use that space for anything other than like how your garage is. You just, there's like,
oh, you mean my junk room?
Right.
My mom called it the junk room. It's been branded the junk room since day one. This, the way some people have a junk drawer.
Yeah.
We're so rich.
Yeah.
John Papagiorgio Rockefeller, Esquire. He's so rich that he can afford an entire junk room.
Yeah. But that's
now like, now we're just in a junk house, by the way. The whole fucking thing's full of garbage. Everyone in the house has a room, like a portion of their room dedicated to her storage.
Yeah.
There's children's books.
That's
on
how
my
this
wall,
same bazillionaire.
Stuffed animals still.
Like she moved from a 12,000 square foot home to a 6,000 square foot home, I believe. And so she had to kind of downsize her closets. But what she did in this new home is that she filled her own walk in closet, which was ginormous, and then moved things to the hall closet, to her kids' closets. And I said, you just can't have your things everywhere. Like, you'll just have to get rid of some. You just can't do that. And your mom, that's what she needs to do. She needs to...
I can't take it. I literally can't take it.
Yeah.
And I won't even get to the house rotting away for another couple of minutes. I remember 6 months ago, she turns to me with a straight face. She's like, do you think it's time I emptied your father's closet?
She said that to
me,
too.
He died in 2001. Yeah.
But there's a certain
thing. It couldn't be more time.
Yeah. But I think if there's a certain things or a couple of things or if he had a hat or a coat or something. Like, maybe you're not going to want it, but maybe
she... put it under the bed in bags for all I fucking care. Just use the closet. She has heaps, like literal heaps of her own clothing in her room.
Yeah.
Like, if the cat knocked this over, we would not know where the cat is. It's so cluttered we couldn't get to it. Our cat would die. We would have to find it. Like, the rescue effort would become, let's sniff for the corpse.
Yeah.
And dig it out.
Yeah. No, I mean, but the bazillionaire, I mean, this isn't something about like your mom's financial thing. There's just something where they have this need to fill this void. And if you clear a space, you just...
I just can't take it. She won't accept therapy. Yeah. She won't get on anything to treat what... This is obviously some sort of like depression combative, the way I can't keep my hands off my dick.
Part of it she does realize because she's mentioned it to me before. Like,
but it's even worse when they realize it and they don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, what if you had an alcoholic parent?
Yeah.
And every day they come home and like click the little glass, you know, the ice in their glass. And they're like, boy, do I have a problem with this. And then start knocking them back. You'd be like, you fucking piece of shit. That's even worse. If you weren't self-aware, I could maybe forgive you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But I mean, we do have a responsibility to take care of our parents. And one of the arguments that my ex-husband and I had was my mom and I hadn't gotten along for a long time. Like, when I moved out after I graduated from nursing school, I moved out and I graduated early, and I left home when I was 18. But when I moved out for myself, I actually didn't want anything to do with my mom. My mom, I was very angry. She was so mean and she was so like unsupportive. She was one of those people that was a fan of me to other people, and she would speak highly of me to other people, but never to me, and I was never good enough, or I could never, you know, it's just these high standards, I guess. But it was really difficult to live there that last year before I moved out. And so I hadn't spoken to her probably in a couple years or something. Anyhow, then we started talking again, and then I had gotten married. Anyhow, my mom had gotten sick. She was moving back to the United States. She was living out of the country, and I guess she had spoken to my husband at the time, and my husband was the one who invited her to come and live with us. It was his invitation, and he said he was cool with it and that she should come. She shouldn't be sick by herself in New York where there was no family. Both my sister and I were in Northern Virginia. And I said that was fine. So she lived there, I don't know, probably for, I think she stayed for about a year, but she had been kind of looking for a place. Her ultimate goal was to move to Georgetown. That's where she wanted to be. And she was kind of looking, but she was kind of taking her time. Meanwhile, when she lived there, she was always offering money, offering to clean, offering to cook, whatever. I had a cleaning lady, whatever. I didn't want her to do any of that. Mm. That's not really what she was there for. She could keep her own space tidy or whatever, but I didn't want her to worry about anything else. And then one day my husband had said to me, he said, I want your mom to start paying rent. And I was like, you can kiss my grits. One, you invited her here. It was by invitation.
You made that bet. I'm sorry.
Right,
yeah.
She's not here loafing, and she's not doing, one, she's sick. You know what I mean? And she's recovering or whatever. And she is looking for a place, but I'm not going to. And he said, well, I want her to pay. And I said, well, then I'll work more. And whatever you, that magic number is, you want her to pay. And the thing is, we were financially doing well. So we didn't need the money. You know what I'm saying? So there was no point other than some
psychological thing.
Principle or something.
You think he just said that because he thought that was the right thing to say with your mom, like to invite her over?
No, because he was very, overall, I mean, he's very empathetic and very, he was raised by his grandparents and he had strong morals and family values. I don't know what had gotten
into
him.
Sounds like Clark Kent.
I mean, he just, kind of like, I don't know, but he was a nice guy.
Like an American Jesus. You were searching for words. I found them for you.
But it really bothered me when he had said that. And then when we had, like, we had separated and everything, and then it was probably a year or so, we were having a conversation, and he just, out of the blue, he said, I want to know why you said what you said. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And it was like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years later or something. And he said it like, I want to know. That apparently was eating at him. And I said what I said when. I just asked if he wanted something at 7-Eleven. Did you not want me to ask that? And he said, no, about your mom. And you said that you weren't going to let her pay rent. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like that, I guess it was just eating at him. And it was like, he's the head of the household. And that was his, you know, thing or whatever. But I said, no, if your mom was sick, which is his grandmother who raised him, I would never ask your grandmother for money or something. Like when my sister was here,
you would just steal her gold when she wasn't looking.
No, that's horrible. Like, why would you? To me, that was like a garbage
that
move on his
colored girl who lives here stole my bracelet.
Well, you know what happens when a moral man is faced with reality.
I guess I don't know.
Exactly. You want to do the right thing, and you know what, it sucks a lot. I'm downtown that right now.
But I would never do that. I would never, you know, if I was going to have your mom stay with me or something like that, I would never, ever have her pay one penny, ever, you know, or my own mom, which I did for, or his grandmother or his dad.
I'll never be rid of her.
It's
that
different
simple.
To me if you have someone who, like, your mom is older. She's 70. She's at the age to retire and settle down, and, you know, she should be living her happy retirement, having fruity drinks on a beach somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, she didn't plan for your dad's death and blah, blah,
she just
blah.
She didn't financially plan, period. Yeah. I've never seen someone, and she gets it directly from her mother.
Yeah.
Like, I hate seeing fucked up DNA just trickle down the tree.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing. Her mom inherited a paid house.
Yeah.
A shit ton of money from her husband.
Right.
Sat there, drank Pepsi 24/7 in the same couch with her morbidly obese fucking dogs that would knock me over as a kid. They're so big and fat.
Yeah.
And just watch QVC and buy shit. And we laughed. Oh, how we laughed at the old lady buying her garbage from QVC.
Yeah.
Well, 20 years go by, and my mom, the only time any activity is going on between her thighs, fucking QVC's on.
Yeah.
And her brain lights up. She won't get on any sort of like supplement. Like, I'll mention Same or Samey, whatever it's called. It's a nice little antidepressive thing, and it's good for your joints. And I take it. You know what? My joints feel better, and I don't feel so goddamn miserable all the time. She looked into it. I thought it might, like, curtail her spending
because
she wouldn't just have this hole, this gnawing pit inside her that needed to be filled with buying shit 24/7.
Nope.
She looks into it. Couple days later, she's like, I don't know. I've read one thing on the internet, like you have to take extra B vitamins with it. Who the fuck cares? You know how she treats her depression now? She has a chocolate stash.
Yeah.
Like a fucking diabetic kid. She has a chocolate stash, and she just walks up like a squirrel digging up its acorns during December and mashes chocolate in her face.
I don't have a particular problem with
no,
that.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's just, this is medicinal chocolate to her. It's not like a normal person enjoying a sweet. This is how she gets through the day.
But I don't like people who, I mean, you're saying, well, the trickle-down effect in because your grandmother was that way and then your mom's that way. But I don't like people who blame their environment or how they grew
up. That's DNA. I mean, she moved out by the time my grandma eased into this. It's creepy. It's really creepy to see, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that would be weirder is if I got married and, like, she got old and suddenly got into this shit. Like, I passed it through her by coming inside her or something. That would terrify me.
But, I mean, my mom, she was not very, you know, I mean, I'm nothing like my mom other than our sense of humor. Like, as far as, like, cooking or domestic things or organization, all my bills are paid. I've had a car and, you know, I paid for my own car with cash when I was a teenager and those kinds of things. So the work ethic and those kinds of things, I mean, I'm not a product of my mother either. I mean, there's some things that I just, you know, people definitely know I'm my mother's daughter. But I don't think just because your grandmother was a QVC addict that your mom had to be one.
Lord knows my life's different. My mom was very, like, poor little rich girl.
Yeah.
Like, I'll talk about sometimes, Will loves to lay it on.
Yeah.
About, you know, how tough and, you know,
that he was
ballsy
and
his
you're
life
poor,
was.
But
yeah.
The thing is that you weren't really poor.
We weren't poor. We just weren't really well off either. We never, like, wanted for food.
No, but you had video games and you had things and sports and things like that. I mean, my grandmother, she said to me once.
Had it just been my dad raising us, we would have like had a room, a Scrooge McDuck room full of money. Yeah. My mom just managed at the end of every month. And then she wonders like why he died of cancer. Can you imagine the stress of having to support that woman? Like, even when he wasn't pissed at her. Because when he was pissed, you say whatever.
Yeah.
At least in a Greek household, shit flies.
Yeah.
Like, things get said. And then you come back like a half hour later with like flowers. And you're like, I didn't mean it. But even when he was in a perfect mood with her and he would just be nice. He's like, I love your mother. And he'd pause. He'd take a beat. He'd be like, but God, she is shit with money. Like, that was him at his nicest. Even saying I love her, it needed that but.
Yeah.
So she's just fucking horrible with money.
No, she is. But I mean, you did have things. I mean, she spent money for you guys to do things.
Yeah.
I mean, she spent money on you guys.
But it was in the dumbest way possible.
Band camp.
Exactly. Oh, band. There's all kinds of band shit. Are you kidding me? You were saying that sarcastically, like sticking a flute up my cock. But it was really like Will did go to music camps.
Yeah.
And oh, Will needs to try out for this college and this college. So we need like $500 plane tickets here and there and train rides. I still remember they took like a train ride up to New York and some Puerto Rican had like a fat girlfriend who blew him on the train ride right in front of my mom. The story I'll never forget.
I never heard that before.
She was like, you could tell she really loved him and he didn't care.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, if I got my cock sucked on a train, I guess she did really love me. I just love the thought of my mom having to watch that.
That's oh my God, that image.
Getting his dick sucked.
But my grandmother had asked me before, like, we didn't have those kinds of things. So when we grew up without means or whatever, like, we were below poverty. And I can remember as an adult, my grandmother had said to me, you know, was I ever in Girl Scouts? Because we were talking about one of my younger cousins selling Girl Scout cookies. And I said, no, Grandma, I was too poor. Or Girl Scouts. And
I was
said,
too poor to make money for others by selling cookies for them.
And I said, why do you think my teeth are so jacked up? I had to pay for my own braces. And my grandmother started crying. I was like, what are you, just meeting me? Like,
I could just see you trying to calm down your drunken mother. Like, you've just scrawled a line across your teeth in crayon. You're like, look, Mom, I don't need braces anymore.
Actually, they told me I went to...
What lying doctor said this?
No. We went when I was 12, and they were like, oh, she's going to need braces. And anyhow, I wound up, when I was in nursing school, I went and I worked and did my babysitting or whatever, and I paid for my own braces. So I paid for my own orthodontics. But then it didn't work that dentist, you know, he gave me a choice, and then I had braces when I was an adult. I mean, I always had a nice smile.
I remember
smile.
When you had them.
Yeah. I mean, I always had a nice smile, even before. My teeth were always white, and... But my bottom teeth were a little crooked, and I had one kind of jewel snaggle tooth, kind of, you know. But
I'm trying to remember if they were that weird. Yeah. I mean, you've had teeth yanked to match your yappers.
Yeah, but
together.
It actually did. My orthodontist said, It's funny because I made a joke to my dentist and he said when I had to go have the teeth pulled, I had to have a filling done so they could put the brackets on to connect the braces. And when I went to the dentist for him to fill this, build up this tooth in the back, he said, you know, it's really good that you're getting this orthodontics done because they're really, you're going to look much better. And I was like, whoa, did you just call me ugly? Like, does a dentist have carte blanche on insults here or what? But then when I went to the orthodontist and they started me up with the braces and I was, I don't know, how old was I, like 35 or something like that?
Like 5 years ago.
Yeah. So
you're like 40 something?
Yeah, that's right. And my dentist said, I said, I think my dentist called me ugly. And he says, well, I can tell you one thing. When you get these.
You ain't pretty.
After you have these braces, after you have this orthodontic work and your braces come off, you will look younger. And it's true. I think it really did make me look a lot younger. It's funny. You have four teeth pulled and it really did help. I think
you look like an infant.
Well, your uncle thought I was in my 20s still.
Yeah.
I mean.
Uncle Cataract.
But even still, it does help. So, but the first time I did braces, I paid for it myself. I mean, I paid for it the second time.
They're
too,
not cheap, by the way, right?
No, it was $7,000.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Like if I had a daughter.
But I spent like
with the jacked
$2,500 or something.
Send her to Japan.
I was just gonna say,
yeah, it's considered
to work as a whore.
No, it's considered a good trade over there.
Oh, fucked up teeth.
Yep.
Oh, they must love the British.
Oh gosh, that's nasty. I have a thing about teeth. Like
I would just wait till she was 18 and get her implants and be like, "Hey, you pick your battles, kid."
And here's a scarf.
These can pay for the other thing.
You have a scarf around your face, and all these V-neck shirts. Push-up bra and V-neck shirts.
Sex symbol in the Muslim world.
Yeah, you never know. Your daughter could end up a QVC girl.
Oh gosh,
QVC
that's
model.
Mm.
They at least have some okay tail on that. They're never modeling anything hot.
No, they seem, I don't know. They do some clips on one of the programs where they do like highlights of the week of all the shows or whatever. And whenever they do a spotlight on QVC, they just regurgitate the same.
There's one leathery
things.
Old coug I'd fuck.
Ugh.
Like apparently all the old shrews are like, how much surgery has she had? And they badmouth her on her little message board. But you know what? I don't know the bitch's name. I'd stick it. I'd stick it good. She's like 48. She's well preserved.
Wow.
She looks like who's the broad from Melrose Place that had Lisa Rinna or whatever. Just
no.
She doesn't have like the big baboon pussy lips, but she has that kind of leathery, well-kept skin, like the corpse of Lenin, the way they mummify that and just
That's
polish
terrible.
It every so often.
Awful.
She kind of has that look, but I'd fuck it hard.
Gross. It's nasty.
I can't, there's no happy ending to this. The house is rotting apart. I can't tell you how much is going to go in to preserving the Papa Giorgio Museum when she should just flush that turd down the toilet and get a condo. I can't take it.
Yeah, but again, that condo, I mean, you're really
when can I
anything.
Just legally make decisions for her and be like, no, you are going here. When is there just an age? Like, when do people get shoved in homes against their will? When?
No, you don't want to do that. Then she'll just be depressed and die.
Yeah.
No, we can't have that happen. Who will feed us?
A series of Mexican cooks.
Although one can say you're bearing no responsibility for yourself.
I am an occupant.
When one can say you should have been on the roof slapping on the roofing cement.
You know what? If she would let me, I'd do it. I swear to God, I'm curious about home repair. I'm fine with it. She doesn't trust me. Even though I make my living working with my hands.
Yeah.
And I've never been sued. She doesn't trust me to fix shit around the house.
Yeah.
Every time I fix it, it works fine. Because guess what? You're probably not going to get some of the genius level IQ fixing shit all that often in your life. I'm a fucking weird fluke. It's a confluence of bad things that makes someone as smart as me doing something as menial as that happen. But it's happened. Take advantage of it.
Yeah,
it's like getting
your
cock sucked by someone in Mensa. Just sit down, shut up, and enjoy the ride. You're like, I didn't know fingers went there. I didn't know I could come out of my scrotum. Yep. I know all the tricks. Just enjoy.
Oh, gosh. But, I mean, education, you don't need an education to do certain things. So,
To do them well, you really do.
Not if that's your trade. Some people have been doing that with no formal education, plumbers or things like that, and you just...
You can only do it mechanically then when you have spent so much time on the job that every permutation of it you've seen. Because nothing.
Yeah, but some of those guys, they just know what's wrong just by the sound or just by, you
that's
know,
that's not a dumb guy, though. Like, trust me, the dumb guys are the, like, the shingle fetchers.
You're talking about someone's IQ. His IQ might not be that great. It's only to his craft that he's so good.
I don't think you can, like, be good at something without at least reasonable intelligence.
You can't. Some of those people can't even read. But when your car is knocking, they know exactly what's wrong, and they know exactly what you need.
But that's more education than IQ.
No.
I think what the man's saying, if you got an IQ of 60, you're not up there bolting parts together.
Yeah, but I know some pretty, I mean.
Like, if someone talks like Forrest Gump, and somehow he's like.
Yeah, and then,
like,
he's making cabinets. Or
I've
look
had
at
these murmuring heartbeat. Can you just lay your hand on my chest and tell me what's wrong? He's going to be like, more hamsters. I mean, what the heck? Like, you can't be that dumb and figure these things out.
You can. Look at those savants who play the piano.
They're autistics.
Right.
They probably have, like, high IQs. They just don't know how to, like, caress a vagina and not creep out the woman.
But I'm saying, when people have a craft, sometimes it's built into their family or their history or their whatever, and they're very good at
You've
it, but they're not
like
very
bright.
You've
never had, like, a mechanic who did it for 30 years and still fucking sucked shit?
There are those people as well. But I know people, we've talked about this before too. I know people who love, they have a passion and they have a love for, let's say, drawing or cooking or whatever, but their drawings suck and their cooking is terrible. But they spent all day in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Just because you spend a lot of time and you have a passion for something doesn't make you good at it. But I do know people who are a box of rocks who can't thread a sentence together. You'd never want them to be seen, you know, doing public speaking or whatever. No one would take this person seriously. But when it comes to fixing a car or building a cabinet or home repair or whatever, they're very... they're very, very good at it. They're very adept.
I don't know if I've ever met someone that I would call dumb. Yeah. Anyone I've met who's good at a blue-collar thing, I would assume their IQ is at least like 110, 115.
You know, I met this person once. I forget how we got connected. But this gentleman, he
Chatterbait.com.
No, we met at some, like, a group thing or something. I think we all went to the improv, and he was a friend of a friend, and we wound up hanging out a handful of times. This guy, he's very attractive. He has two businesses. You know, he's got a beautiful house. But when we started communicating, like, after, you know, our group event, we exchanged numbers and emails or whatever. When this guy wrote an email, I was like, you know what, if we had just met online through Twitter or Facebook or something, I would never want to talk to this person because I think they were a box of rocks. Written, he could not put a sentence
together.
That's
like you.
No,
I
can
write. You refuse to write. You can't write.
I can.
Anytime I ask you to write anything down, you'll like copy things from the internet. I swear you must be like functionally illiterate or some shit.
I am not. That's the one thing I can do. I can write. I don't like to read. People think I'm well read, but I'm not.
No, they don't.
But when I did all of my reports and all of those things for school and
you
for
would
college,
probably like literally cut paragraphs out of the Britannica, and your teacher would be like, "Allison, this is plagiarized. Clearly, like, I don't know what you're talking about."
No, my writing was always scored very high. Actually, I have had things published too before.
Really?
Yes, I have.
In what?
In newspapers. In New York?
Oh, newspapers. New York newspapers, no less.
They are.
Or at the clippings.
A lot
Bring
of things.
Single, looking, hung black male.
When I was in high school, I submitted a lot of things to the local paper and they were published. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Manifestos?
You can bless my chops all you want. I mean.
Well, I can't get you to write. I could get you to rim me before I could get a paragraph out of you.
Well, it depends on what we're talking about. You were sending things out. You sent, that was for one show.
I wanted
my
you to summarize something for me. You got like 18 texts from a person. And I was like, can you just give me the gist in two lines? And you're like, okay. And then 2 hours later, I just get everything cut and pasted to me. I'm like, wow, thanks for
because
following
this one
to the
team. Because you can just plug it into your computer and it just comes up. I don't have
what
that.
Is this the computer in the Batcave? Like the Adam West era? Like
but
I put in all the information?
It's better to write it from that person's own words.
And a punch
words.
Card comes out?
You don't want me to interview Tony and then regurgitate my interpretation
of it.
Yeah,
I do. It's much faster.
It's better just
to hear it for
yourself.
I'm supposed
to listen
to a tape of Tony? Yeah. I've already talked to him a lot.
It's just better if it doesn't. It's haven't you ever done that in school where one person whispers in one ear and by the time
purple
gets,
monkey dishwasher,
yeah, exactly. So
telephone game,
yes. And by the time it gets to the end, it's something totally different. So it's better just for me to send those texts and for you to write it. That was for the one show that we did. about Matthew.
The one where we cared.
Yeah.
Where we tried.
Yeah.
We'll do another one of those, I think, Wednesday. Okay. It would have to be recorded.
Yeah.
Maybe Tuesday.
All right.
But maybe Wednesday.
When you gather all of your callers.
My illustrious callers.
That's right. Who are supposed to be giving you feedback on the show, which is where is all your feedback? You asked me for
mine. I don't get any feedback. That's why I was asking you for feedback. You're the only feedback.
I get a lot of feedback. People write to me all the time.
So. I have actual friends that I made through the show.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, every maybe 4 to 6 months, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, have you enjoyed the show lately? Like, I haven't kept up so much, you know.
But if you ask them specifically, don't you think?
Why? That's like the teacher who knows the kid hasn't read the chapter.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, then what did Thomas Jefferson do? He's like, ah, he shot an Indian that ran in the White House.
He ate some chicken.
Yeah.
He had potatoes for dinner.
Well, he built that house.
But do you know that, actually, wig. In high school, I told you this before, actually, in high school, when you had all your required reading, like Moby Dick and Silas Marner and
what?
Macbeth.
Silas Marner?
Yeah, you didn't have to read Silas Marner.
No.
Yeah. Well, I'm much older. About?
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's actually pretty good. And there's a movie which plays Ben Kingsley. He plays Silas Marner.
Okay.
It's good. You should check it out. I mean, I liked it when I was a teenager. I saw the movie. I didn't read any of these books, but my best friend at the time.
Like, that Gregory Peck kills the whale.
Anyhow, but for all of these things, my best friend, she was a very avid reader, and she was an enthusiastic reader, and she couldn't wait to. So we would have to read the same thing and then give a report by whenever the report
Tropic
was due.
Tropic of Cancer, swish.
But she would just tell me all about the book, and I got better grades than she did. I got all A's.
So what you're saying is someone summarized things that they heard is brutally effective.
But I wrote the papers myself. I wrote the papers. I'm very good with words. I am.
I can tell.
I am good with words. Yeah, so I was an A student. I mean, as far as my writing and stuff goes. And I never read one of those books. I still don't know what they're about.
Just softballed that in there. As far as my writing is concerned,
no, I mean, I was a good student all the way through.
At least one to wonder about everything else.
Yeah. No, I did. I got good grades. I was a good student, but not a good reader.
Fine.
I never liked to read.
Fine.
Little Women, all that. It
Hurts
was garbage.
Your pretty little brain. Fuck Little Women. Had the gayest title. I could never bring myself to read that one.
Yeah. Well, you did a lot of reading.
I did.
Yeah.
I was a queermo like that.
Yeah.
Well, I liked John Belair's. They had the best covers, those John Belair's books. Oh, God. Who did them? Ed Gorey or something like that? What was his name? Guy did a great art style. I think it's Ed Gorey.
Yeah.
You can look it up. Just look up John Belair's book cover. I love those. There's like the robot and the baseball. And they all had weird titles. It was about like a kid and he had a like an older friend in the neighborhood, the professor. Yeah. And they were set in the 50s, so it wasn't creepy. Like the professor is just like sucking him off.
Yeah.
Like, here's another adventure to the gully behind our houses. That kind of shit. They went on real, like, innocent crime-solving adventures, and I don't think they were that violent, but they always involved robots and ghosts
and baseball.
Cool shit. I wanted that.
Oh, my. Well, now you have it. All in one room, every room. Every room's the baseball, yeah, robot,
everything's
dishes,
a haunted
collection.
Ghost room in my house.
Yeah.
The oppressive ghosts of my past.
Oh, God.
Suffocating me.
I mean, she can keep those things, but she should just organize them. But she really likes to wear it. It has to be cloaked around
her. Well, her version of organizing, and we'll punch out after this. Her version of organizing is just throwing shit in a box and then being like, ta-da, it's organized. So now there's boxes. There's bookshelves everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, the halls are literally, it's like watching a fat man's arteries fill up. There's going to come a time where I have to turn on my side to get through the hallways.
Wow. I mean, it is getting pretty narrow. So.
Mm-hmm. And on that emphatic note, I think we're done. Yeah, 55 minutes. Pure audio gold.
Is that right?
It was.
And our silent partner here, Tony.
Hey, Tony came in. I didn't know Tony was coming up. He was nice enough to let us record one.
That was nice.
Get covered for
what
the Monday.
What a swell guy. Are you staying overnight?
No. No, he never stays. Tony's a freak when it comes to sleep. I've seen him do like almost 72 hours awake before.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why? That's crazy.
Back when we were roommates, he would like You were really into, like, what, VHS anime? Yeah, well, he would cram for tests and all that jazz, but he would also, like, buy boxes of anime. And this predates, like, good digital media. Yeah. So he would just get, like, a shoebox of VHS tapes.
I only did that once.
Like, the way people exchange snuff films. Oh, and he would just put them on and just watch them over and over. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, look at him.
Far more interesting than class.
Yeah, he would just cut class and then, like, lie and be like, I had a brain tumor. And then his teachers let him take all his tests. That's honest to God's truth. I've seen him do it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's impressive. If you want to get to see Tony's photography, it's beautiful. Back when I had my own place, I would hang Tony's photos of me on my wall so the women sleeping with me could get, like, three me's.
Oh, gross.
Like she was fucking Cerberus.
Gross.
Tony's at DeSisto Photographer. Photography. I always screw up the outro stuff. D-E-S-I-S-T-O, all right?
DeSisto Photo.
DeSisto Photo. He's good. Allison?
Yes.
They want to get a hold of you. It's right. At Allison Frank on Twitter, A-L-L-I-S-0-N. And me, John Papa Giorgio. Why, there's so many ways. At Papa's Basement on Twitter, Facebook.com/Papa's Basement, InPapa'sBasement@gmail.com. And InPapa'sBasement.com is the show website. Again, go there. New episode every Monday and every Thursday, despite the fact that our audience is stagnant and I get zero feedback. And this will never lead to anything. Speaking of which, the show's 6th anniversary kicks in this August.
Oh, really?
Look forward to special episodes in which we do the same thing as we've always done.
Obviously by someone who pays attention to the show.
Oh, gosh.
We're out of here.
Bye.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.